Track 12. And our feature article this week is another of those biographies put together by Soundings contributor Liz. And this week she tells us about the amazing career of Lucille Ball, a hugely popular and successful TV star through her sitcom I Love Lucy. She was more recently recognised by Time magazine in 2020 as one of the most influential women of the 20th century for her work in TV production. And here's Liz's contribution.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Liz here from East Kilbride, and I'm ready to start telling you about the wonderful, wonderful, talented Lucille Ball. So where do I begin? Well, if I tell you that in today's wee chat, I'm going to mention Star Trek and Mission Impossible, that will perhaps lead you to think, well, this is worth listening to. Lucille Ball, born in 1911. Now, she had a very, shall we say, varied and difficult childhood. Her father was an engineer for the Bell Telephone Company, and he seems to have been a hard-working and decent man. But sadly, he passed away from typhoid fever when Lucille was only 3 years old. This was a great shock and a trauma for the family. And there began many years where she was sent to difficult and different members of the family. The first crowd of grandparents seemed to have been lovely folk who lived very close to an amusement park, one of these holiday resorts. And here we, Lucille, saw the dancers and the entertainers and the stage and the vaudeville acts. So who knows what impact that perhaps had on her. But then her mum remarried, and the next set of grandparents were a very, very strict and austere couple. They only allowed one mirror in the house in case of vanity. And when Lucille was spotted looking at herself, the grandparents were very, very annoyed. She always, it seems, wanted to be a dancer and go on the stage. And although they didn't have much in the way of money, her mum and the grandparents decided, let's give the girl a chance. And she was sent out to a school for dramatic arts in New York. Betty Davis was a pupil there at the same time. It wasn't just to give her a chance to be on the stage, because at the age of 15, our Lucille had started dating, and she was dating a most unsuitable guy called Johnny DeVita, a 21-year-old local hoodlum. So her mum decided, put the girl on the stage and put away all that nonsense. The school did not really nurture her talent. In many ways, they really tried to drain it out of her. But she soldiered on. And that's a key aspect of Lucille Ball's personality. This girl was not an instant success. Many, many years of rejection. Many years of auditions. But she kept going. She dropped the unsuitable boyfriend, by the way. And in these many years, gaining experience and stagecraft, often in the chorus of bigger events, bigger shows, she met some of her lifelong friends, who, by the way, were having much more success than her. Among them were Katharine Hepburn and Ginger Rogers. So we're moving into the 1940s now. She's beginning to be respected and, in fact, booked for regular performances, not your top movies. Rather unkindly, she acquired the nickname of the Queen of the B-movies. And then, moving on to the post-war boom years in America, the great innovations are coming in. Radio still has a big hold on family homes, but there's the beginning of TV, as well as the ongoing wish to be a movie star. In the post-war years, our Lucille established herself as a very successful radio artist. And then she met a charismatic, handsome Cuban band leader called Desi Arnaz. She liked him very much. She wanted to be with him very much. And even from their early married years, Desi, shall we say, had an eye for other women. So Lucille, ever the thinker, realised one way of keeping Desi on a short lease would be to have him in her shows. So she had him in the radio shows, and her role was as a zany housewife, and TV came knocking. And she said, well, I'll do it, but Desi needs to play my husband in the TV version as well. The TV executives were rather concerned. Would America in the 1950s accept a married couple of a redhead and a Cuban? In fact, the public loved the Lucy Show, which became a huge phenomenon, really, in these days before the many channels and these days before streaming. I Love Lucy was a hugely successful show year after year, the big attraction on CBS, the zany housewife who landed in all sorts of scrapes, trying to do her best, but not always succeeding very well. During these years, I think perhaps the reality of the marriage was not what the TV audiences saw. But they stuck together, in part, I think, because they both had very good business brains. And they thought, well, what can we do here? Let's do a deal with some of these TV moguls. Let's offer to pay for a better quality 35mm film, which will make our shows look much more glossy, much more successful, and we'll keep the rights to our shows. And of course, when the shows became a huge, huge success, they were making the big money at the time and even more in the future. Because when they bought back the rights, Desi and Lucille gained a huge amount of money. And in that way, they were a very successful partnership financially. Shall we say the marriage was a bit roller coastery? She finally divorced him in 1960. And when that divorce was finalised, she went ahead and bought him out of the share of the TV company. The TV company, the original name, was their two names put together, Desilu Productions. And that became Lucille Ball's very own entertainment company. She was the first woman to head up such an entertainment company, and she had a very good brain for finding talent. And here's where I'm introducing some of these shows. The ideas for both Star Trek, the original motion picture, and Mission Impossible, way many years before Tom Cruise, were put past the woman executive, Lucille Ball. The executives underestimated our Lucille. She saw they had the potential, especially for the younger markets coming in America, and she gave the green light to these two hugely important shows that not only became later cinema franchises, but in many ways set the standard for what could be done in TV. She was adamant everything had to be as good as possible, and she introduced lots of innovations, like having a cinema and a studio audience right there as a show was recorded, which was especially innovative when you thought of TV comedy shows. Going on to her 50s as a woman on her own, she continued to be a very important person in the American media. And then a dark episode. because in America in the mid-50s, some people in the media were suspected of being communists. The House Un-American Activities Committee unearthed a bit of paper that said that Lucille, as a 24-year-old, had actually hosted a meeting of the Communist Party in her house. She reported to the committee that this was only because she dearly loved her socialist grandfather and had joined the Communist Party at his insistence. Whether this swung it in her favour or not, I think the words of Desi and onto the TV screen probably had an impact. He stepped forward before one of the shows was being recorded and said, "Now look, folks, to settle what our Lucy is about, the only thing red, as in communist, the only thing red about Lucy is her hair. And even that is not legitimate." She continued to be a superstar. In her later years, mixing and attending some of the great Hollywood events, the great Hollywood extravaganzas. In her later life, she appeared on stamps, and her local town decided to make a statue for Lucille. The statue was opened up, and the statue was deemed scary, terrible, dreadful. The council were so shocked, they decided to make another statue. And by the time it was completed, the so-called scary Lucy statue had become quite a tourist attraction. So if you go to Jamestown, New York these days, you can join the many busloads who visit the two statues, which are in the town square, the scary Lucy one and 25 yards away from it, the one that they think is a much better one. I think perhaps I better end now. I hope I've given you an idea of the wonder, the phenomenon of Lucille Ball. And perhaps I should end with one of her sayings. Lucille said, "The secret of staying young is to live honestly, eat slowly, and lie about your age." Well, there you are, folks. Lucille Ball, a real force of nature.
TNF Soundings.